faith pleases God. And, you know, faith is simply looking away from evidence that you can see. Everybody can look at your hand. Okay, you don't have to have faith that you have a hand because you can see it. Faith is simply looking away from the evidence that you can see and choosing to believe God. And so, you know, if God has said something that's contradicting what you're looking at, then you have to make a choice between those two. You can make a choice to believe what you see, or you can make a choice to believe God. And so when you choose to believe God instead of what you see, that's faith. Though you can't see the evidence for believing him. All right, so this is not that big a mystery. I mean, we cannot see Jesus. You know, how many of you believe Jesus was raised from the dead? Okay, so you believe that, you know, and some people maybe have seen Jesus, I don't know, or at least a vision of him or those kinds of things, but he's not on earth physically anymore. We're not ever going to get to see him physically on this earth, you know, to prove that our faith is true. So how long have you decided to keep believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead, before you decide you're not going to believe that anymore? I mean, are you giving it a month? If you don't see him within a month, are you going to stop believing? A year? 5 years? How long does he get to prove that he's risen from the dead?
Forever.
Well, forever, okay. So, all right. And so whenever God's word contradicts what you see, if you choose to believe his word instead of what you see, that's faith. So let me tell you what is not faith. Rebelling against common sense. Now pay attention. Rebelling against common sense to do what you want, that's not faith. That's foolishness. I remember, I'll give you an example, a Bible school student. When I was in Bible school, he decided to steal a car. And when the police stopped him, his response was something about the car being his by faith. Okay, that's not faith. That's foolishness. You know, faith is always based on something that God has appropriated. What he did was more like when Satan tempted Jesus, you know, to jump down off the cliff. You know, and he was listening to the wrong inspiration. Faith is always based on something that God has appropriated, and that's why we need to renew our minds and read the Word so we know what God has appropriated to us. Because if you don't know if God's appropriated it to you, you know, you're not going to be able to believe for it. It's not going to work out. Faith is always based on something God has appropriated. We need to have faith in what God has given us, not faith in having what we want when we want it. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. There's two things here. He must believe that he exists. That's pretty common sense. And, you got to put this and in there. And that he rewards. Everybody say rewards? Those who earnestly seek him. And so there's a paradigm that if you're going to please God, you have to be a person of faith. You have to believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder. Now, faith starts with believing God exists. And again, the next part is believing that God wants good for you. Some people believe there is a God. A lot of people believe, probably most people believe there's a God. But they don't all think that they are the kind of person that God wants to bless. You know, a lot of people feel like they're in the punishment line. They're in the line that God is not happy with. And so that's not faith. Some people doubt there is a God, but there are far more people that believe there's a God, but they doubt that he wants to do good to them. More people live in fear of being punished, and few people live in hopeful expectation of reward. And so that's, in the body of Christ, that's something we should always have corrected. We should always be believing that God is wanting to do good things for us. He's wanting to do good things for you. He wants your life to be blessed, and he wants you to be a blessing. And faith, that's what faith does. It tells us that story. Faith that pleases God starts with believing that that he is a God who rewards. You know, here's the deal, though. You'll never really understand faith if your bottom line is seeing naturally what it is you want. I mean, if your faith is based on a short window, when you will give God a short time to do what you're believing for, but not a long time, then you're never going to be happy with living by faith. In other words, if it's just something, okay, I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to believe God for, fill in the blank, and you're going to give that 30 days or a week or 24 hours or 15 minutes or whatever it is, and then you're going to say, okay, well, it didn't work out, so I guess that's off. That's not faith. And you're not. And if you're that kind of person, you're never going to be happy living by faith. Do you? I already said that.
We hear it again.
I almost got ahead of myself. Do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? What if you decided to give God 2 weeks to produce him? Or you were going to renounce your faith? And yet sometimes when we're believing for finances, or we're believing for healing, or we're believing for loved ones, or we're believing for whatever it is, you know, it's like he's got like 2 weeks to produce, and then it's like all bets off. You know, he shouldn't have been betting in the first place. And if you're only going to mimic faith for a season or for this little time spell, you're only going to give God so long only to give in to what you see or don't see, I'm just telling you, that's not faith. Faith doesn't require evidence. Faith doesn't require evidence that it works, because faith is evidence. Do you understand that? Faith is evidence. And so, you know, if you had evidence that God had blessed you and you had received from him what you were believing for, would you be happy? Well, you already have the evidence of that, so you should be happy. Faith doesn't require evidence that it works, because faith is evidence. And that's why Paul and Silas, after they were beat up and mugged and bloodied and chained into the inner dungeon and in the middle of the night were singing hymns to God, they were excited. They felt privileged, because they weren't looking at the evidence they could see. They were looking at what they knew. And so when you're really in faith, I'm just telling you, it produces... it produces the same kind of joy, the same kind of happiness that receiving good things. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, you should have this marked in your Bible if you don't. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we what? Do not see. In the New King James Version, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's evidence of things not seen. And so faith gives you the same assurance that seeing does. And faith gives you the same joy that seeing the article does. I'm pretty sure if someone suddenly tried to convince you that I was not standing up here right now, that you were really in some sort of delusion or dream or trance, and you know, or those kind of things, I don't think you could probably be convinced. And, you know, and there might be somebody who could be, but we should do a drug test on them. All right, because, you know, you can see that. Okay, you know, the same thing. Well, you can't see Jesus, but are you convinced that Jesus is Lord? Let's look at a story about Jesus and his disciples in a boat in a storm. I love this particular story in the Bible. And this is a story of double downing on fear. It's hilarious. I mean, it's a blessing, it's inspiring, but it's also funny, because I don't know if it's funny, but it's our human nature is really strange. And anyway, in this story, his disciples, they're afraid of what they're looking at. And then when they get to see what they want to see, then they're afraid of that. And so anyway, it's in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, starts there. It says, that day... when evening came, he, being Jesus, said to his disciples, Let us go over to the other side. Pretty simple instruction. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And this is the interesting part. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him. He actually had to be woke up. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So often we claim to have faith in Jesus, but when things don't go right, not only do we become desperate for his help, but we start to blame him for not caring about us. You know, you helped so-and-so, or you did this or did that, and I heard all these things, but so far you haven't been much help to me. And, we start in. Well, I'm just going to tell you something. That is not faith. I'm going to verse 39. It says, he got up, that being Jesus, he got up, because they woke him up, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, because after he got done speaking to the wind and the waves, now he's going to talk to his disciples. That would be us. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So they went from being terrified of the wind and the waves, now they're terrified of Jesus. Now they're terrified because the waves aren't, and the wind isn't blowing anymore. They're kind of fearful people, aren't they? And so if you ever feel terrified, I just want you to know you're in good company. And his disciples kind of started out a little weak on the faith side themselves. And I think one big reason that some people choose not to believe is because they're terrified of God. They can't believe in an all-powerful God that wants to bless them. And so what's the alternative to that? They can only believe in a God that wants to punish them. And if he's as big and as bad as they talk about, I mean, that's a fearful thing. And so rather than going around in fear of punishment all the time, what you do is you just get rid of the punisher. That'll solve the problem, right? That'll make you feel better. Instead of doing that, they need to believe that, they need to, instead of trying to get rid of the punisher, what they should do is they should just believe that God wants to reward them. Anyway, what I want you to see here is that Jesus' faith did not require seeing results. Not even when the waves were, not just when the boat was rocking, but I mean when the waves were coming over the edge and the boat was going to sink, he still was not bothered. No action necessary. The only reason the action became necessary is because his disciples were all fearful. I don't think that Jesus cared that the storm be calmed and the wind come, but he certainly expected his disciples to take care of it themselves. He was perfectly happy to sleep while the storm rages. I don't know how he thought he was going to get across the other side if the boat sank, but apparently he wasn't concerned about it. He must have figured the angels would come and pick him up and carry him across. I don't know what was going on in Jesus' mind. I only know this, that he had confidence in God. He said, let's go to the other side. That was the end of the matter. And he wasn't prideful about it, and it didn't matter what the devil manifested, what kind of storm he could bring about. Now, these are storms on the ocean with wind and waves, but we can have storms in our life standing right here on a solid floor inside, out of a storm, out of the rain. We can still have storms raging in our lives. He was perfectly happy to sleep while the storm rages. He's perfectly happy to sleep on the cushion while the boat's being swamped. His security is not based on seeing calm seas. At no point does he ever base his belief on seeing something. He never brings that into the equation. It's not part of what's relevant. We're great with living by faith until we see the water filling the boat. And ultimately, though, what happens is we will give in to what we see. And that's the point. That's not faith. That's just God revealing to us that we don't have faith. We talk about faith. We say we have faith, but it's obvious we don't. Like Peter. On the night Jesus was betrayed and was going to be put to death, he says, "Oh, no, I got faith, Jesus. I'm going to die with you if necessary." Did he do that? No, he denied Jesus 3 times before the night was over. And not only that, he denied Jesus to a servant girl. It wasn't even an authority. It was, you know, it was just, it's like, no, I don't know him. And so he thought he had faith, but he found out he didn't. And sometimes that's what happens in our life. A modern-day version of pretending to have faith would look like this. We'd be standing in the, you know, we'd be in a boat, and the wind would start coming up. We'd stand up in that boat. When the storm starts, we'd raise our arms. Well, if you're real spiritual, and some of you haven't got to the arm-raising thing yet, but we'll give you time. Anyway, you raise your arms up. You can start this way, palms turned up, and those kind of things. And our eyes are closed, and our heads are looking up, or maybe they're looking down. There's a lot of faith postures, okay? And any of them work. But anyway, after we got our posture, that our preferred posture, then we would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the calm seas." You know, or maybe we would command the seas to be still, like Jesus did. "Seas, be still." And then as soon as we got, "Seas, be still." And then we would open our eyes and we would take a look to find out whether or not it worked. And if it didn't work and the waves are getting bigger, maybe we would shout a little bit, "In Jesus' name, storm, be quiet." Because sometimes if you get loud, see, that wakes everybody up. And, you know, maybe the storms, you know, you get stern. I mean, we do that, right, with our kids, you know. Now, don't do that. And if they don't obey, we just get a little sterner, sterner. And you know, how many of you know dads, usually, not always, I've seen some really scary moms, but usually dads are more scary than moms are. But anyway, maybe you didn't have a dad that could scare you. I didn't have to be scared from my dad. My dad just started talking to me. Just start crying right away. It keeps you out of a lot of trouble. Anyway. And so we would get serious. You know, maybe we'd scream a storm. But when we got done, no matter how loud we shouted or what we did, then we would open our eyes and we'd take a peek to see if it worked. And, you know, if the waves, it didn't work and the waves kept getting bigger and bigger, And things just weren't working out. Everything we tried, and we started to get desperate, and the storms continued to build. And then what happens to us? Then it becomes, "Jesus, why aren't you doing something? Why don't you care about me?" And we start accusing him, and sometimes we even get angry at him. You know, we can go through the motions of faith, but end up right where the disciples did. And if it can happen to them, I guess it can happen to us. We can end up right where the disciples did, defeated. And I'm just telling you, that is not faith. That's trying to con God into giving you what you want. You know, that's just doing religious things and going through religious motions because someone told us that God would help us if we did those things. And so, okay, that's what we'll do. A lot of people are not willing to live by faith, and that's a different thing. They're only willing to play like they have faith for a season. And as long as they have a hope that God's going to actually do this good thing that they can see, then they're in. But as soon as they lose that hope, then they're out. They let the cares of life and the deceitful of riches defeat them. And so the only solution they will accept is something that they can see. In other words, that's the bottom line. If I am not going to see it, then forget the whole thing. And I'm just telling you, if that's the kind of faith that you live in, that's not faith. J- Just like believing that Jesus is the Son of God and was raised from the dead, how long do you believe that?
Forever.
Whether you see it or not. It's not any different with anything else. And so either you believe the promises and the goodness of God forever, or you don't. When you insist that you have to see it, that's not walking by faith, that's walking by sight. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." He didn't say, "Let us go over to the other side unless the devil attacks us." You see, the other side, that's your victory. That's your goal. That's where you are going. That's what God wants for you. Let us go over to the other side. What's the other side? It's the other side of where you're at, where He wants to take you. And guess what? On that journey to the other side, where the Lord wants to take you, there's going to be some storms. And there's going to be some wind. And there's going to be everything else that you can think of. There's going to be some sharks, some whales, and some cold and heat. And whatever you can think of is going to come along and try to convince you that you're not going to make it to the other side. And then you have the choice to decide about how you're going to react to that. Here's the deal, you see. Getting to the other side isn't good enough for most people. They need to see calm seas. And God's not against calm seas. Go calm them. Jesus didn't need calm seas. If you need them, go speak to them. Jesus called that kind of thinking, that kind of faith, he said that's having no faith. Fear was the culprit. Jesus asked them, "Why are you so afraid?" And that's what always gets it, fear. And you know, when you start nagging at your spouse, you got some fear going on there, something. You're afraid about something. Jesus asked him, "Why are you so afraid? If you believe God was going to get you to the other side, you wouldn't be having a panic attack." And I don't know, have you ever told your kid that, you know, you're going to do something, we're going to, you know, after dinner, we're going to go get ice cream at DQ? And I don't know, some parents, I guess, don't always follow through. But, you know, we were pretty faithful. If we told them we were going to go take them to DQ, we would. But sometimes before they can get there, they act up so bad, you about change your mind. We said we were going to go after dinner. What time is it? Have you had lunch yet? You know, well, then quit asking me about going to Dairy Queen. You know, we said we were going to go. And sometimes that's kind of what we're like. We're, you know, we if we knew, had the confidence that we were going to the other side, that we were going to our victory, we wouldn't be so panicked. We're worried because we're afraid we might not make it. You didn't think I could say that, did you? Ha.
Good job.
Got to the other side. Anyway, I call that peekaboo faith. You know, you believe God and you make a stand of faith and you make your confession and you tell people and then you kind of open your eye to look and see if it's working. Thank you, Jesus, for such and such. Then you pause and you look. Then you try again, you know. And then if it doesn't look like it's supposed to, then you give up. Faith pleases God. And it doesn't say getting happy only after you see the results pleases God. And he wants us to have the confidence when we can't see. Seeing what we want pleases us, pleases the flesh, and that's not what we're called to. Our part is to live by faith. The only time that we can live by faith is when we can't see something. That's the only opportunity you have to live by faith is when you can't see. Some people do not want to live by faith. That's the bottom line. They're only willing to sacrifice a little bit to get the result that they want. And so they turn faith into a work. You know, some people are like, okay, say, I don't want to work for 40 hours a week to get a paycheck. But I sure like what happens after I get a paycheck. You know, pay my bills and go to Dairy Queen, all those things are wonderful. So even though I don't really want to work for 40 hours a week, I'm going to work for 40 hours a week. And I just looked at Mick here. He's a farmer. He's thinking, I wish I could just work 40 hours a week. You know, but anyway, you know, and so, but you know, if that's what works, if that's what will get us the grub and everything we want, you know, and different things like that, okay, we'll go do it. People are willing to work to get things. You can even convince some kids to work to get things. And you know, in the same way, though, in the same way, what it is, see, they don't really want to trust God either anymore than they want to go to work. They don't want to live by faith. But the deal is, if that will get them what they want, if that's what they must do to get the blessings of God, to get where, to get to the other side, well, then they will do that. It's just a different means. Instead of punching the clock, now they're trying to stand on faith and believe God. But they really don't want to do it. What they really want is they want the paycheck, or they want what they want. That's not faith. That's work. And so a lot of people talk about faith, but they're not doing anything strategically different than what they do when they go get a job. They're still doing something they don't particularly want to do. They don't, you know, I guess if I have to go to church, if I have to tithe, if I have to, you know, got to give up cussing, do this, do that, and got to read my Bible. And how many of you know that living for Jesus can be like work, can it? And we can turn it to a job. And that's what some people do. And it's not faith, it's just work. But if that's what'll get me through, I mean, what I was doing wasn't working for me, but someone told me Jesus would do these things for me, so hey, I'll go to work for Jesus. We talk about giving cheerfully. You know, you can't do that if you're concerned about getting to the other side. You know, if you're concerned about getting to the other side, you're going to want to hold on to every penny you got. You can't be cheerful, you know, if you think you're going to drown. You know, we can put smiles on our faces before we come through the doors of the church, that kind of thing. But if you think you're going to drown, it's hard to be cheerful if you think you're, you know, things are about ready to fall in. You know, you think the bill collector's coming to hook the tow truck to your car and haul it off, it's hard to be happy. How's your day going? Praise the Lord, they're coming to get my car. And you know, it's hard if that's your expectation, if that's how you're thinking, then you're not gonna experience the joy and the victory God that belongs to you. But when you have faith, you see, you can be cheerful right now. And, you know, it's fun when you know the victory belongs to you. It's just fun walking it out. It's even fun sometimes to see what the devil will throw at you to try to dissuade you. And finding out that doesn't work either. You know, if you don't want to live by faith from beginning to end, here's the point. If you don't want to live by faith from the beginning to the end, then just forget the whole thing. I mean, why would anyone want to go through all the effort to worship God for 40 or 50 years, only to throw in the towel at the very end? Serve the Lord for 40 or 50 years and then decide, well, I guess it doesn't work. That would just be terrible. And if you'll do that, on a daily basis, or a weekly basis, or a monthly basis, what makes you think you won't do it on a long-term basis? And so I just encourage you, you know, if you're going to be a person, you're going to live by faith, then you just need to get to tenacity, and you just need to decide, you know what, I live by faith, and that's forever. There's no end to it. Doesn't matter how high the water gets in the boat. It doesn't matter if I'm neck deep. It doesn't make any difference. I live by faith. Because if you just wait 40 or 50 years, you know, to serve God and to try to live by faith and do these things only to be frustrated because it never panned out the way that you wanted, and in the very last day you shake your fist at God, what good is that? Hebrews 11:13. All these people This is, Hebrews is the book of the champions of faith. This is, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Hebrews 11 is the chapter of the heroes of faith, and they all experienced individual results. Some of them came back from the dead. Hallelujah. Some of them were fallen in half and they didn't come back from the dead. Well, they all came back from the dead, but not right on the spot. Some of them not back from the dead to this life. Some closed the mouths of lions. Some quenched the fury of flames. Some were powerful in battle. Some were jeered and flogged. Some were chained into prison. Some were stoned to death, killed by the sword. Well, they had unique experiences. They all lived by faith. But none of them got to see Jesus, the one they were looking for. None of them ever got to live under the new covenant. None of them were ever baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so the ultimate objective to living by faith is to receive our reward in heaven. You know, to become like God, to become like Jesus, to be with Him where He's at. That's the prize. That's the goal. And everything that we're doing here is just a means. We believe God to provide what we need in this life. In fact, it's an insult to think that God wouldn't provide us what we need in this life. But our objective goes beyond this life. The prize is beyond here. Our objective is eternal life. And everything we do is for that purpose. For that call, you know, to reach out, to live in a city that we haven't seen yet, that's been prepared for us by our God. Hebrews 11:14 says this, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. That means not one here on earth. Looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. They could have gave up on faith and lived worldly lives like everyone else. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God, because they were longing for a heavenly country and not an earthly country, it says, therefore, this is what what God wants. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. And so it's precisely because God has prepared this blessing, this city for us, this heavenly realm, and the fact that we are looking and longing for that city, that life, for the prize that is in that place, that's what makes Him happy to call us His children. Because we're not all tied in just some prize in this world. The country we left is the world and what it offers. And when your objective is only for worldly purposes, that's not faith. God has prepared a city for us. And that is what our lives are about. We serve in this particular country, but our heartbeat is to get to the country we're seeking. Why do we believe for healing when we're sick? Is it so that we can have more of what the world offers? No, it's so we can fulfill the purpose that we have here. So that we can be of more use to the body of Christ, to the world, to witness. Everyone else is trying to save the ship. You know, we're trying to leave the ship. And we're just running around, you know, trying to get ready to go to the place we're going. Matthew 8:14 says this, when Jesus came into Peter's house, He saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in a bed with fever. And He touched her, and her fever left, and she got up and began to wait on Him. That's why we want to be healed, so we can get up and go wait on Him. And the way that we wait upon Him today is by serving each other. God has good things for you here on earth. But gathering things on this earth is not your objective. You're on a racetrack with a lot of other drivers. You're speeding around it, just like they are, on the same track. But they're trying to earn an earthly trophy. That's what they're all about. Just get the other guy off the track and win and cross the finish line and get the trophy. That's what they're about. But even though we're on the same track racing around just like they are, we're not after the trophy they're after. Our trophy is in heaven. We're looking for acceptance from another place. And so naturally we don't drive the same way they drive. You know, we're not bumping cars off the track and all those kinds of things. And they don't know what's wrong with us. You guys are going to lose the race. We're not after the trophy you're after. We're after a different trophy. We drive differently. Your trophy's in heaven. Our trophy requires a different kind of driving. Faith is a growing process. You know, you start out as a baby. And, a baby only wants to suck on a bottle. And when people first come to Jesus, it's usually to have a carnal need met. But a child grows and they learn to serve. We start to teach them. The child's first act of service doesn't really deserve a reward, though they may get it, because at first all they do is learn to pick up a few of their own toys. Usually not even all of them. They pick up a few of their toys, put them in a toy box. Good, Junior. You know, and they get a reward. And, it's helpful that they begin to pick up their own toys, but really all they're doing is picking up their own mess. And so it's good when Christians begin to be able to take care of themselves. But children, they still require a lot of care. But by the time they're adults, they should be supporting others. Not only should they be meeting their needs, but they should be supporting the needs of others around them. And so God blesses us in this life so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be a support to His mission on the world. Prospering financially, go prosper financially. Please go prosper financially. But understand why you're prospering. Mark 4:26. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Wherever he sleeps, it gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel of the head. Anyway, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Okay, this is just an explanation of spiritual growth. This parable is about how the kingdom of God grows. It started with one man, Jesus. And it's been growing and expanding ever since then. But it's also about how the kingdom of God grows in your life. You know, it just starts out. It's the message, and we receive Jesus as our Savior. And, you're like an abandoned baby in a field, and Jesus comes along and he sticks a bottle in your mouth. And at first, you know, all you're thinking about is your own needs. And then you start to grow, and eventually you become a productive, serving member of the body of Christ. And so in the world, a person works for their own success. Their objective is comfort in the world. We, on the other hand, we live by faith. That's not our objective. Our objective is not just comfort for ourselves. Our objective is to bring comfort, to fulfill the purpose that God has made us for. So even when we work, it's by faith. When we work, we expect supernatural results. Our purpose is to be beneficial to others. Our objective is heaven. And here's all the point to this. I'm rushing now. We're living in a time when we are being asked to stop being infants. And that's because a lot of infants are going to show up at our doorsteps. And we need people to be ready to minister to them, to love on them, and to hold them. Yotam, this is the year of the meeting. That means it's a time for us to come together to serve our purpose. And this is where our future is. And living for God's purpose is where your future is. And I understand that there are people who don't want to hear that. They want to serve their private agenda. And they're willing to throw a token towards God if that's beneficial to them, but they don't necessarily want to surrender to His purpose. And they're interested in a place on this world. And they're only interested in Jesus if they can get something out of that they want. And if Jesus is not into what they want, then they're not into Jesus. The kingdom is advancing. And faith is not dead. I guarantee you it's not. Jesus is still working through the seed that he planted. But the devil's also at work, and he's a great con man. And many people will be drawn into the deception. You know, a con, that's just a confidence game. It's like the devil in the garden. That's how I tempted him. You know, God's keeping a secret from you. He's keeping something good for you. He's not really your friend. I'm your friend. And then he offers us something for our flesh. That's how he appeals to us. And so that we'll turn our affections away from God. And that's this the problem. The false image of faith appeals to the flesh. Real faith appeals to your spirit. And faith is a prize that is not here. It doesn't come from earth. Faith is a city that's not built here. And so you need to find out and ask yourself, where are your prizes at? What's your heartbeat? What are you after? But I'm telling you, faith is how we live as Christians. Faith is all about getting to the other side. And it's about living in the peace and the joy the whole time. We're going to live through some storms. We're going to live through some trying times. We're going to live through things that were more frightening than what the disciples. And God wants you to be cheerful and happy. He wants you to be glad, full of excitement about what's going on in your life and where you're headed. You're on a journey. He's taking you someplace. And set our hearts on his agenda, getting to the other side, to the place that he's called us, then the journey becomes much more satisfying. And the more you set your hearts on what's on this side, where you're at, the more discouraging it's going to become, the more frustrated you will be. And as people begin to wake up to that reality, those that have heard the word of God, the seed's been planted, I believe it's going to come alive in their lives. And they're going to begin to come and to seek God. And we should be doing that already. So I just encourage you to live your life every day in faith. And just trust God no matter what. No matter what, you are going to be okay. It just will not be a big surprise to you.